Hey, you are the king of the Jews? Some messiah you are. Why don't you save yourself? And while you're at it, save us as well.
Have you ever been in the dark? I mean, the real dark, where you can't see your hand in front of your face? I pastored on a small island in the Gulf Islands, and I worked part-time at one of the high schools, and I'd get off maybe at about 11 or 12 o'clock at night in the wintertime, and it was black. I mean, it was so dark you couldn't see anything. And my wife told me, because I'd walk to work, she says, make sure you bring a flashlight. I said, I don't need a flashlight, because I'm a man. And so I went to work that night, and about 10:30 at night, 11 o'clock, I was walking home, and as further I got away from the schoolyard lighting, the darker it got, and it was about a 2-mile, 3-mile walk, and I was walking along, and all of a sudden it was pitch black, and I could turn around, and I didn't know which way to go. But I knew I was on the road, and you could get over to the road like this, and that's the gravel, right? And then you get under a soft part, I dragged my foot like this. And then you get into the middle of the road, and there was two lines there, and it was smoother, so I knew I was kind of in the middle of the road. But then I kind of got lost a bit, and I fell down about 20 feet over the edge. In the pitch black, I didn't know which was up and which was down, and the only words that came to my mind were, you need a flashlight. And so I kind of crawled up, and I found the edge of the bank again, and then I kind of walked until I got in the middle of the road, and then I hoped I was going the right way. And I was going like this, and then there would be a car coming. I'd be like saving grace. There would be a bit of light in the darkness. And then I'd kind of get my bearings that I know I was going the right way, and I could find my street. And then eventually, I was able to get home, tell my wife that I should have took a flashlight. The first cross. The first cross signifies spiritual darkness that came between us and God. You see, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over all of it. And God said, isn't this interesting? He said, in the darkness, let there be light. And there was light. And then we know the story about creating all the animals and all the birds and all the things that God created. And then he created man. And then on the seventh day, he rested. And the man and the woman, Adam and Eve, were in this beautiful garden. And there was light and day, but there was no separation with the light of God. Until they took from that tree, now I don't know whether it was an apple tree or maybe it was a watermelon tree, I don't know, but they took something that they weren't supposed to do, and it separated them from God, and the disobedience caused darkness spiritually to come between man and God. And God loved us so much that even instead of just destroying us in the garden with Adam and Eve, he took and he moved us out and put a cherubim there with a flaming sword to say you can't go back in there. Spiritual darkness separated us from our Maker. While they were in the garden to find this out, they used to have fellowship with God. They used to walk with him. And then when they knew they had sinned, they hid. And hiding is putting something into darkness. And God said, where are you? Like he didn't know. But he was speaking into their heart. And then he separated them from that. Since then, man has mocked, just like the man on the cross here, one of the thieves, one of the criminals. Right away, outside the garden, Cain slew his brother Abel in the mocking of the sanctity of life. And then when he was asked where Abel was, he said this to God, I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? Mocking came in the form of a tower that they were going to expand into the heavens so they can make a mark, make a name for themselves, called the Tower of Babel. And I love it in Scripture. It says, and God came down to see it. It wasn't that big after all. And man wanted to make a mark. He was mocking God and his expanse. And then Pharaoh in Exodus, we know the story, how he mocked God and everything that God showed to him. All the curses that came. And it went right through the Old Testament with this mocking attitude of God, right to the foot of the cross, right to the time when Jesus was being crucified. And the men, it says in Luke chapter 22, and the men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded and demanded him to prophesy. "Who hit you?" they said. And many other insulting things they said to him. And of course, right up to the death of Jesus Christ, he hung between two criminals. And the one, as you heard in these words, mocked him right to the point of death.
Have you no fear of God? You're under the same sentence. We deserve our punishment, but not him. He did nothing to deserve this. Oh, Jesus, please remember me when you enter your kingdom.
The second cross talks of reconciliation because, you see, sin mocks the holiness of God. In Ephesians 1:4, it says, "For he chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight." When it was all darkness and before it was ever put together, even before the world existed, before the foundations of the world, he had a plan because he knew it would happen. And he knew that if he didn't have a plan, that us, his creation, would be in darkness forever. Ephesians goes on to say this, "For you were once darkness," not just in darkness, but once you were darkness. "Now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. The fruit of this light consists of goodness and righteousness and truth." You see, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And he with God in the beginning. He was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Verse 14 says, "The Word, Jesus, became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us." The Message says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into our neighborhood." When the light comes into our heart, the mocking of God ceases. But what does that say? It says in Romans, "The Word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess faith and are saved. And Luke 23 says this in verse 40. The other criminal rebuked the mocker and said, "Don't you fear God?" And he was in paradise with Jesus at the end of that.
Father, I place my life into your hands. It is finished.
The third cross is now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, for the sun had stopped shining. If we were able to, during those 3 hours, 3 hours is a long time, if we were able to take a high-powered light and shine it on the cross, illuminating the cross and Jesus, what would we see? We'd see sin that separated us. We'd see Adam and Eve's sin, disobedience. We would see a sin of murder with Cain. We would see the sin of lust that's written about all through our scriptures. We would see anger. We would see infidelity. We would see envy. We would see pride. We would see betrayal. We would see abuse. And we would see hate. And so many more things. We'd also see sickness. All the sicknesses that have ever been known to us in the world, and even those that are coming that we don't even know. All this would hang on our Jesus, who was already probably reduced to a horrible sight because of the abuse and the horror that he was through with the scourging and the crown of thorns, and he was just nailed to this horrible, rough cross, and his blood was pouring down. We'd also see people we would see the people and their addictions to all sorts of things, pornography and drugs and everything that we struggle with, alcohol, all these things. We'd also see fear. And we'd also see depression, and we'd also see rejection, and the list goes on, and we would not be able to look upon it, and that's why it became dark, because God himself could not look upon the sin that hung upon his son. You see, mankind had been in a spiritual ditch without any means of light until Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. Isaiah prophesied this in chapter 9. He says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of deep darkness, a light that has dawned." And because of this, we now walk in the light on the highway of holiness as described in Isaiah 35, verse 8. A highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. It will be for those who walk on that way. The unclean will not journey on it. Wicked fools will not go about on it. You see, it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon when the temple curtain, the veil, was ripped in half. At one time, it was darkness to be able to, you couldn't go in there. You couldn't have access to that because of what Adam had done in the Garden of Eden. And this tore from the top to the bottom. It was some 22 feet high or something, and it was thick, and it just tore from the top to the bottom and let us have access to our God through what Jesus Christ did. And as you have heard, the third cross, Jesus laid his life down and said, "It is finished." So we're invited to walk in his light this morning. We're invited to walk in his light for all eternity. So I'm going to give you this invitation, because this is what Good Friday is all about. Where are you today? Do you need to receive his light? Maybe you've never accepted him as your personal Savior. His gift of salvation is for you. It's amazing how simple it is and yet how powerful. It is like the thief on the cross. "Please remember me. Please accept my sins and forgive me for my sins." Maybe you need to say that prayer, because we're going to take communion. It's going to reflect all of this in a few minutes. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then it's just kind of it's a symbolic thing for you in a religious move. But when you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, now it becomes something that's innate inside of you, because he lives inside of you. Maybe you're here and you've got some struggles with whatever. Maybe you need healing. Maybe you need freedom. And we just want to invite you. We want to invite you to come. Just come forward. And if you have a need, we came to meet with Jesus today. We come to reflect on what he's done. And if you haven't received that, today is the day to receive that and walk out of here totally changed and different, totally free, totally whole.